Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
So I'd like to ask you to open up your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. The book of Revelation, chapter 21. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today and we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples, who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I want to ask you to find your place in Revelation chapter 21, and in honor of this passage of Scripture, in honor of the reading of God's Word, I'm going to ask you to stand with your Bible as I read it. You follow along in your copy of God's Word, and let me read it out loud together. This is Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who walked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of God's word. Thank you. You may be seated. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. It gives the contrast that if ever we're separated from our body in death, then if you are a believer in Christ, you will be with the Lord immediately. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, and to be present with the Lord. There seems to be that contrast and that truth in Scripture. People often say, that guy is so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Well, let me just say this. Don't criticize anyone who is heavenly minded. You know why? Because the people that are heavenly minded do the best for the earth now. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, I remember hearing about this book, and I met one time a U.S. congressman who was a student at UF, and he read Mere Christianity, and it caused him to turn his life over to Christ. C.S. Lewis says in that book, as Dr. Danny Akin quotes in his commentary, he says this quote. This is C.S. Lewis. He says, a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next world. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. Aim at heaven, and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you get neither. That's a quote from C.S. Lewis. So today, we are going to aim at heaven. We're going to see what heaven is like as we rejoice, as we come to this portion of Scripture in the book of the Revelation. Now, there are only two main points that I want to make today, and I want you to find that in your listening guide. Here is the first one. We're going to look at heaven physically. Number one, we rejoice in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, in verse 1 of our passage, this is chapter 21, verse 1, it says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The word heaven is mentioned 50 times in the book of Revelation. Now, folks, you remember in our study, we have come past We have come past the letters to the churches. We have seen a vision of heaven. John has given us a vision of heaven. We have come through a period of time we know that is futuristic, called the tribulation period. There are trumpets. There are seals of judgment. There are trumpets of judgment. There are bowls of judgment. Satan has been in his prison house. We have had what is known as the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. And now Satan has been thrown into hell. He is separated from God's people. He is going to receive his eternal punishment from God. And now we're coming to a new heaven and a new earth. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, the Bible says this, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." There are actually three heavens we find in Scripture. If you want to take your Bible and go over to the book of 2 Corinthians, I want you to see this. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, find that in your passage in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4, it says this, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, but God knows, such one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Now go back to the book of Revelation. We find that in the Scripture it seems like there are three heavens. There's a third heaven. The first heaven is like the atmosphere. That's where the birds fly, and that's our atmosphere. The second heaven is the celestial heaven where the planets are. And then the third heaven is actually what we think of as heaven, and that is the presence of Almighty God. Now, in our passage today, I want you to notice that the old earth and the old, everything's gone. It says there is a new heaven. In chapter 21, verse 1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." Now, I want you to see this passage. Go to the book of 2 Peter. You'll find that passage in 2 Peter. And I want you to find 2 Peter. See, I got to find it. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. I want you to see this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, it says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise." This is Peter talking about that the old heaven and the old earth is going to pass away. "And the elements," the Bible says in verse 10, "and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." So sometime after this millennial reign of Christ, futuristic church, we look forward in time, and there the old earth and the old heaven will be dissolved. It will go away. In verse 11 it says, "These things will be dissolved." The word dissolve there is the word luo in the Greek language, which means to set loose. In other words, whatever is holding molecules together, God is going to all of a sudden turn it loose. You know, the Scripture teaches us that it's the Lord that really holds everything together. The Lord's power is what holds everything together. Well, at this point, through heat, God is going to dismantle the earth, and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And it says there will be no more sea. Now, we read in chapter 22 there's going to be a crystal river. There's going to be a river. So I don't know that all the water is gone. One scholar believes that this no more sea, you know, in the Old Testament mindset, and even in the New Testament mindset, we find that the sea is where rebellion comes out of. It often talks about how the rebellion comes out of the sea. Actually, in the book of Revelation, it says that the Antichrist came out of the sea. So it may not be that all of the water is forever gone in the new heaven and new earth. It just means that the theological and the moral sea is going to, the immoral sea is going to be gone where Satan came from. So what's gone? The old heaven and the old earth. But there is a new heaven and a new earth. And then in verse 2 it says, in our passage, there is going to be the new Jerusalem. It says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So we see the new Jerusalem is presented as a bride. In many ways, the new Jerusalem and the bride of Christ are seen in some ways synonymous. It's like the Lord has prepared this bride, but he's also prepared this city. We don't know all that that means, that it's the exact same, but the point is there is some close resemblance there in the language, that just as a bride is presented for her groom, in the same way we as the bride of Christ will be given over to Christ, and also we see this new Jerusalem spoken about as a bride as well. Now, we see that the light will be like jasper. It will be clear as crystal. What's in this new city? Physically, there will be 12 pearl gates. If you look at our passage, chapter 21, and look at verse 21. It says the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Well, we know from the passage that this is a cube. Physically, it says the height, the length, and the width and the height are the same. So it's a cube, 12,000 furlongs. That's 1,380 miles of a square of a city. All right. And then it also gives us a description of beautiful colors. The description is amazing. The color of jasper. We really don't know all the color of jasper, although it talks about it being so crystal clear. So there may be like a clear stone, like a diamond. And then the sapphire was probably blue. The chalcedony comes from Chalcedon, Turkey, and is basically blue with stripes of other colors. The emerald is bright green. The sardonyx is red and white. The carnelian, called a sardius in the New American Standard, is usually a ruby red in color, though it sometimes has an amber or honey color. The carnelian stone is coupled with the jasper to reflect the glory of God. The chrysolite is a golden color, probably different from the modern chrysolite stone, which is pale green. The beryl is sea green. The topaz is transparent yellow green. The chrysoprase is also green. The jacinth is violet in color. And the amethyst is purple. The stones together provide a brilliant array of beautiful colors. The gates resemble huge single pearls. And the street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. The bottom line is that John can hardly describe. He does the best he can to describe the beautiful colors. So physically, what do we see? We see a new Jerusalem, a new earth is created out in the future. God is going to do this following his millennial reign of Christ. He's going to create a new earth, and he's going to create a new Jerusalem that is nearly 1,400 miles as a cube, all right? The thickness of the walls, are 72 yards or 216 feet thick. It says there will be streets of gold in verse 21. There will be no temple. They do not need to have a temple because the Lord and the Lord Jesus, God and the Lord Jesus Christ are the temple. There's no need of light. God's glory will be the light. Now, in chapter 22, verse 1, there's a pure crystal river. The Bible talks about thirst, those that are thirsty. And ladies and gentlemen, that water will supply us of all the thirst. It will represent the satisfaction of all thirst in that pure crystal river in chapter 22, verse 1. And then it says there's a tree of life. And when it describes that in chapter 22, it says, in the middle of its street, on either side of the river was the tree of life. We don't know if that tree is so wide that it grows and has like a hole in it with the river, or if there are multiple trees there. But on each side of that river, the tree of life is there, the Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 21, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, that there is going to be physically a new place, all right? So the first thing we rejoice in, we rejoice in a brand new heaven, we rejoice in a brand new earth, and this is all that we are to look forward to, those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You say, boy, I really want to know what it's like in heaven. I mean, not necessarily what the tribulation is going to be like the millennial reign of Christ is going to be like. I want to know what's going to happen for all eternity, where we're reading about it right now. We're learning about what heaven is going to be like according to God's Word. So we rejoice, first of all, that there is a new heaven and a new earth. I was thinking about this. You know what this is? It's a reminder that all of this stuff that we have in this world that we can put our hands on, if we're not careful, we need to realize that it's all going to go away. All of this stuff is going to go away. We have a new home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And the Bible says that many places in Scripture. It talks about that we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, if you're an ambassador for the United States to another country, you live in that other country, but you're not really home. You're an ambassador. You're representing your home country, all right? You're living in another country. In the same way as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not home yet, folks. We have a home waiting for us in heaven, although we're here for a purpose. We're here to get the gospel to people. And in other places, the Bible says we're like a soldier. And we're in a battle. We're in a battle for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in a battle for the Lord, and yet we represent another nation. We represent where our real citizenship is, and that is in heaven. And it talks about that we are citizens of another place. And so the application, really, when you think about this new heaven and new earth, the truth is, folks, we're not home yet. Amen? You know what I'm saying? We're not home yet. You're just looking at me this morning. Y'all okay out there? Am I going too fast? All right, hang with me. The first thing is we rejoice in a new heaven and new earth. But here's what I wanted to get to. Number two, we rejoice in a new way of life. Now, if you notice, I'm kind of jumping all over this scripture. Because in some places in our passage, it deals with the physical nature of the new heaven and earth. In some places in our passage, it deals with what life is going to be like. Number two, we rejoice in a new way of life. Let me say this first of all. You know what we're going to do? We're going to be with God. I want you to let that sink in a little bit. Now, by the Holy Spirit, God is with us. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. If you are a believer in Christ, the Lord is with you. But in the scripture, in verse 3, it says this in our passage, 21:3. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying from heaven, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. It reminds us when it says he will tabernacle with us. Behold, the tabernacle of God, or the dwelling place of God, is with men. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, in chapter 1, verse 14. That's the same word, tabernacled. When Jesus came on this earth, and we're about to go into Christmas season coming up, we talk about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. He came and he tabernacled among us. Well, guess what? He's going to tabernacle with us forever and forever. So the one thing is, we will be with God. We will be with God. It'll be different than it is now. Let me just have you write down a couple references, and I want to read these verses. In 1 Corinthians 13, 12, it says this, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Folks, listen, we have a relationship with Jesus, but can I tell you something? Swallow hard and listen to me. I want you to listen to this. It's going to be different in this new heaven and new earth. It's going to be different than it is right now. We are going to see Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." See, what we know about the presence of God, we get mostly from God's Word. This is the true revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture for us right now during this church age. But ladies and gentlemen, when we get to this new heaven and new earth, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord face to face. So the bottom line is, we will be with God. There's no temple, all right? There's a song that folks used to sing years ago called the Midnight Cry, when the Lord said it's time to go home. And it describes a guy who goes to heaven and he says, yeah, he said, I talked to Abraham, I talked to Isaac, I talked to Jacob. He said, I talked to Timothy and I had a little chat with Mark. But then he says, take me to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, one day, those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be in His presence in that sort of way. Now, here's the next thing about the new way of life. There are no more tears. Look at verse 4 of our passage. This is Revelation 21, 4. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." No more tears. The Scripture says in Isaiah, the 25th chapter, in the Old Testament, this was prophesied. It says, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of His people He will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." When it says there will be no more tears, it's best understood that there will be no need for tears. You've got tear ducts right now. You won't need tear ducts. Now, I don't understand all that it means about whether we will have some sorrow or regret, or maybe there are others that we know that did not get to heaven, and will we be sad and sorrowful for them? No. We would normally and naturally be sad and sorrowful for them, but somehow the Lord is going to take away all the tears. And the Bible says that death will be abolished in verse 4. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more sin. Do you know what? There will be no more night. Do you get scared at night? There'll be no more night. When I was a little kid, my dad got cancer when I was about 14 years old. He actually got it when I was about 13 years old. And one time I went to see him. Him and my mom and dad were split up, but my dad was in North Carolina. And we went to my dad's brother, my uncle's house. And I went to see my dad and spend a week with him. And they said, "Calvin, why don't you go up there and why don't you stay with your dad up in that room?" And I did, and it was a beautiful old two-story house, like an old colonial house in North Carolina. Man, it was beautiful. And I had so much fun with my dad. Well, later on when my dad died, we went back up there, and you know what they did? They put me in that same room. And I was just a youngster. I was actually older than I want to admit, but I was scared. You ever been scared? I mean, I really was. I'm being honest. Now, y'all are looking at me pious like, "Man, I can't believe you were scared." Hey, let me tell you, I had been in that room with my dad. And for some reason, in this older North Carolina home, they had those pictures like you've seen in horror movies where the eyes keep looking at you. I'm telling you, those eyes were moving. They were moving. And I got out of bed, and I'd walk over here, and the eyes were looking at me. And I'd go on the other side of the bed, and I'd go over here, and the eyes were looking at me. Man, I'm telling you. And let me tell you what. My uncle came in. It was my Uncle Paul. I've got a son named Paul. My Uncle Paul came in. He said, "Calvin, now we're going to switch off the lights." I said, "That's fine." The minute he went downstairs. By the way, I was the only one upstairs. It was a big old house. And it was an old house, and it creaked. And all I could think about was, man, it wasn't too long ago I was laying right here with my dad, and my dad now is dead. And I said, that picture's looking at me. And I was sitting there, and I'll be honest with you, I got scared. And you know what I did? I turned every light on in that place. Man, I wanted light. Well, the Bible says there will be no more night. Night represents terror. And there will be no more night in heaven, in the new heaven and new earth. Why? Because the Lord Jesus will be the light. I tell you, there'll be no more pain. I think about the pain that people go through. I think about the difficulty. You know, I talk about my dad dying when I was a teenager. My mom got cancer and my mom died. And praise the Lord. Best I know, both my parents are in heaven, and one day I'll see them again. Praise God. I'm excited about that. But you know what? Going through that was not easy. Maybe you've had some heartache in your life. Maybe you had some difficulty. Can I tell you this? The Lord's going to wipe away all the tears. I'll never forget hearing the story. I've even played it here. Johnny Erickson Tata was a young girl, wonderful athlete. She dove in the Chesapeake Bay in Virginia, and it was too shallow. She didn't realize it, and she snapped her neck and became a paraplegic. She was a swimmer. She was a diver on the team, and she was a great athlete, but she had an accident, and her neck broke. And she was in a wheelchair, a paraplegic, all of her life. And recently, and she came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. She loves the Lord. She ministers to the handicapped community, and she ministers to others. I mean, the reason she impacted me so much is because when I was a teenager, I saw the story of her life. And she got up and said in that story, and I was just a teenage boy, and I was thinking about, man, I can't believe what she's had to go through. And she got up and said, you know, I wouldn't trade what I've been through for anything, because it's what's brought me closer to the Lord and brought me to the Lord. And it really stirred me up when I saw her testimony. She later in life, she's getting older, and she gave her testimony at Chuck Swindoll's church in Dallas, and I've got a video of that. And in that video, she said, you know, this has not been easy being in a wheelchair all of my life. And she said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, Lord, that chair was hard. It was difficult. She said, I just want to thank you for helping me while I was in that chair, but I do want you to know this was not easy. And then she said, now you can just send that chair to hell. That's what she said. But she said, you know, in heaven, there won't be any sorrow. And then in her testimony, she broke out into that song, no more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And she goes on to sing about the praises of the Lord, how we will worship Him. Can I tell you this? I don't know what you're going through. Oh, listen, I've been in the hospital this week talking to people, our people, the people we know and love that are having difficulties right now in hospital rooms. Man, I've been around death. I've been around people who've suffered. I'll never forget one day a guy who I led to the Lord at youth camp. He was grown up and they had a brand new baby and the baby died. And he called me, and I was just a young youth pastor, Chris. And he called me up. He said, you led me to the Lord. Would you do the funeral for my little infant baby? And I just prayed. I said, Lord, can you help me? Because this life can be difficult. But can I tell you something about the new heaven and the new earth? There'll be no more tears. No more night. No more terror. No more sorrow. No more pain. This old body... Man, I got out and tried to run a little bit yesterday. Man, the Gators got me so inspired. Man, the Gators got me so inspired. And we're sitting there. By the way, you know what Kelly did yesterday? This is the wife the Lord has given me. She actually said these words to me. She said, Calvin, would you please sit down here and watch this Florida game with me? I mean, go figure. How did the Lord give me a wife that like that? I was wanting to watch that game. I got asked by my wife to sit down in front of the TV and watch the game with her. Man, it was awesome. Well, then all of a sudden, man, we won that ball game, and I told Kelly, I said, I gotta go running. I better stand up straight. I'm about to fall down. I gotta go running. So I went out and run. But you know what? Man, it's not as easy as it used to be. Hey, can I tell you something? mentally, I feel like a college kid. In my mind, the problem is the things I want to do with my mind tells me to do, my body doesn't react like it used to. You know what that is? That's the world we're in. That's death. That's the old death angel. That's what Satan wants to do. And you know, in our passage, look in chapter 20. Just go back. Don't even have to turn the page. In chapter 20, verse 14. Before we get to the passage we're reading today, it says, then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. You know, the final enemy of the people of God is death, and death will be thrown in the lake of fire. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be wonderful. No more pain. The Bible says all things are new. In verses 6 and 7, it says, it is done. We will have a new way of life. Jesus said, it's done. I've completed what I've come to do. He gives a contrast of those who will not be there in verses 8 and following. He talks about those that will not be in heaven, the cowardly, those that will not be in heaven. And then he says there will be no more curse in chapter 22, verse 3. No more curse, the curse of sin. And then note the healing in chapter 22, verse 2. It says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Do you know that, by the way, people asked this question. They said, when Christ died on the cross, did he ensure physical healing? Did he ensure that there will be no more need for healing? The answer is yes. The problem is, sometimes we think we're going to get it right now. Sometimes we do. The Lord breaks through and he brings supernatural healing. But can I tell you what? The healing is in the atonement of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for sin and it was done away with, and healing is there. It's a matter of the timing. Sometimes in this life we receive that healing, but ultimately if we receive the healing, we're going to die anyway. We're going to die eventually. But this healing is ultimate healing. And then it says there's no more sin. I want you to notice in chapter 21, verse 25, I want you to see this quickly. Hang with me. In chapter 21, verse 25, its gates, talking about the gates of the New Jerusalem, its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. In other words, there's no sin. There's no reason to shut the gates. You lock your doors at your house. Why? Because there are some people, the devil's working in our world, and there are people that want your stuff, and so you lock your doors. In heaven, they will not lock their doors. They will not lock the gates. You say, is the New Jerusalem going to be big enough for all of the Christians? Well, can I tell you something? Not only do we have a 1,400-mile cube called the New Jerusalem, but we got a new earth. And then we got a new heaven. So there will be coming and going in all these places. Now, I would like a mansion that I can have a good view, you know. I don't know. The Lord says, I go and prepare a place for you. He knows what I need. But the truth of the matter is we will be coming and going in that new earth, the new Jerusalem, and heaven. So there's no more sin. The gates are not shut. And then in verse 23, we will serve him. Look at chapter 22, verse 3. Chapter 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. You say, are we going to sit on a cloud and play a violin? You might. I don't know what everything is going to be like. I know we will worship the Lord. I know one thing, that it's going to be so glorious, I don't even know that John could describe it in words that we could understand. But the Bible says we will serve him. I do not think it's going to be boring. There's going to be responsibilities. There's going to be excitement every day to do what the Lord has called us to do. So we will serve the Lord. It means service through worship and worship through service. Now, I want to answer this question and we're going to say amen. Do angels carry us to heaven? Do angels carry us to heaven? I want you to see this. Look over in Luke chapter 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. Luke 16, 22. This is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And it says this, and it says this in verse 22, So it was that the beggar died. And then it says, and was carried by the angels to Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The rich man died. The man that did not know the Lord died, and it doesn't say anything about angels. But the beggar, it says the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Now, I don't know for sure. To answer that question, do angels carry us to heaven? I do not know for sure. But there seems to be indication that angels will meet us. Well, I tell you what. The thing that is the big unknown in life is death. Is death. The older I am, the longer, as a pastor, I'm around it. It's no fun. But I tell you one thing, I have every hope to believe that His grace is sufficient for us in every situation. I've told you that story about my professor who went to see one of his elderly men laying in a bed, and they said, Pastor, you better come. He's about to go to heaven. And this man was laying in a bed. He got to the room, and they opened up a place at the foot of the bed, the family did, and the pastor just came and stood at the end of that bed. And there was a man laying there that was one of his deacons, one of his men in the church. And Dr. Garland said that that man mustered up every bit of energy that he had. He was dying. And Dr. Garland said, and man, when he was telling us this story, I was in seminary, man, I was on the end of my chair, Don, Dr. Garland at Southwestern. Dr. Garland said, I stood at the end of that bed, and that deacon got up all the energy he could, and he lifted up his head, and he looked right at me, and then he winked. He did. And Dr. Garland said, look, I don't know what it's like to die. But he said, I believe to this day that that was that man's way of saying to me, preacher, I'm okay. God is taking care of me. I believe angels, you know, I hear people say that they see angels when they get close to dying. I've heard that many, many times. And I don't know what it's going to be like, but can I tell you this? I believe the Lord will take care of you. The bottom line, how do you get to heaven? You got to have Jesus. The new heaven and the new earth. It's a new place, but it's a new way of life. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.